Here. My name is Elaine Burrows, member of the worship team here at Trinity. While I think of it, I want to thank the choir and Karen, those in the sound booth, and those greeting. We acknowledge that the land upon which we gather is unceded Mi'kmaq territory, Apiquot, Prince Edward Island. It is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. We pay our respects to the indigenous Mi'kmaq people who have occupied this land for over 12,000 years, past, present, and future. We light this Christ candle so that the light can be spread throughout the world. We'll begin with our call to worship. Every year into our shadow world,
a light is born.
Every year into our complicated lives,
hope is born.
Every year,
the child comes into the world.
Each year, and this year,
we celebrate in hope, in gratitude, and in joy.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy One, we gather together in this time between the season of Christmas and the season of Epiphany. We give thanks for the music, the Christmas lights, the decorations, the old stories, the new stories, the time with family and friends, and food, and the gifts we have received. We reflect on the past and ponder the future. Be with us. Amen. And let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We are doing the Psalm 148 today. Karen's going to play the response once. The choir will sing it once. And then if you wish, you can sing along with them. God from the heavens, give praise in the heights. Give praise, all you angels. Praise God, all you hosts.
Praise God, sun and moon. Give praise, stars and lights. Praise God, first heavens, and all waters beyond heaven.
Let all things praise the Holy One at whose command they were created, who established them for all time, setting bounds which cannot be passed.
Praise God from the earth, great sea creatures and ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and frost, gales that obey God's decree.
All mountains and hills, all fruit trees and cedars, wild animals and cattle, creatures winged and earthbound.
Sovereigns who rule earth and its people, all who govern and judge this world, young men and women alike, old people and children together.
Of God, the name above all every other, whose splendor covers heaven and earth.
You give strength to your people, songs of praise to your faithful, to Israel, the people dear to your heart.
Thank you.
We're going to be singing four hymns during this section of the service, so just remain seated. I'll let you know when you're going to sing them. Christmas is a complicated season. In the secular world, in this part of the world, Christmas starts with Halloween, candy still on the shelves. Decorations, lights, gifts, food drives, Christmas wrap and bows, poinsettias, special foods, meat pies, cookies, fruitcakes and more, concerts, lots of them, carols, Christmas songs and stories, and Santa Claus and a lot of things I've missed are all part of this two-month Christmas season. Many things that have become part of the Christmas season have had nothing to do with the original story. In the Christian world, Advent signals the beginnings of the Christmas season. So the last Sunday of November, we have hope, followed weekly by peace, joy, and love. Then Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and their history for now for 2025. And we're heading into the season of Epiphany. There is the Christmas past, which we'll talk about a bit, the Christmas present, and then the Christmas future. The Christmas past began some 2,000 years ago or so. The Romans used a 9-month calendar, so we do not know the actual date of birth, not the day, not the month, not the year. And there's been more than one calendar used over the centuries. And it was during the reign of Emperor Constantine of Rome in 336 AD, either he decided or a group decided that Christmas would be celebrated on December 25th. Prior to that, it had been celebrated sometimes in May, sometimes in November, sometimes October. And I guess he decided enough of that. And a date was set. And it was set at winter solstice, and there was hope that this date would weaken the pagan celebrations that happened during this time of year. Now, there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there's only two of them that mention the story of Jesus' birth, Matthew and Luke. And they tell quite different stories. They tell quite different stories, but we kind of mash them together. The Matthew story, which was read at the Christmas Eve service, the 7 o'clock one, begins with the genealogy of Jesus, which takes about 2/3 of the chapter, which was not read. But the story is mainly about Joseph, Herod, who was a bit of a nasty character, and the wise men. So, in essence, Joseph has a dream that it's okay to marry Mary. Wise men come from the east to Jerusalem, having seen a star, and they're looking for this newborn king, or child, who would be a king, or a Messiah. King Herod hears about it, calls for the wise men, and sends them to Bethlehem to find the child. The wise men follow the star, find Jesus' parents, and present him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we assume from that that there were three wise men, but who really knows? How did they get there? If you look on Christmas cards, they're always on a camel. Is that how they got there? Who knows? The wise men were told in a dream to go home a different route. Joseph has a dream and is told to go to Egypt. Herod orders the killing of children 2 and under, just to be sure. The family stays in Egypt until Herod dies. And then Joseph has another dream. Herod's son was now the ruler, but he wasn't much better than his father, so they moved to Nazareth. So that's Matthew's story of the birth. Joseph, the wise men, and Herod. And Mary is barely mentioned. So we're going to sing two verses of Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. And you can remain seated. Now, the Luke version is different from the Matthew version. Luke's story of the birth of Jesus focuses mainly on Mary. The story is four times as long as Matthew's story. There is a genealogy, but it is attached to another chapter. Prior to the birth story, there is a conception and birth story of John the Baptist and Mary's time spent with Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Then the decree went out from Caesar Augustus, or Emperor Augustus, that the world should be registered. And Joseph went to Nazareth because he was of the lineage of David. And that's where Mary gave birth and placed the baby in a manger because there was no room in the inn. And then, as the story goes, there was an angel who stood before the shepherds who were watching the flocks by night, telling them to go find the Messiah, the Lord who was lying in a manger. Shepherds apparently were not high on the social scale. They even ranked below the peasants. I'm not sure why. They did lead lonely lives, protecting the herds from animals who are looking for an easy meal. We're going to sing the first two verses of While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night. The words date back to 1700, and the music goes back to about 1592. For those of you who like old hymns, here's one for you. From there in Luke, the story skips to Jesus at age 12. There seem to be a number of angel stories appearing in the Bible. An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream to tell him to marry. An angel appeared to Joseph, maybe in a dream, to tell him to flee to Egypt. An angel appeared to Mary to tell her son would be named Jesus. Angels appeared to the shepherds to tell them of Jesus' birth. And I'm sure there are other angel appearances mentioned in the Bible. And we're going to sing two verses from Angels from the Realms of Glory. These words come from 1816, and the music is from 1867, the time of Confederation. We're going to sing the first two verses. So we celebrate the Christmas past with the stories of Mary and Joseph, the baby, the manger in a barn, the visits of the wise men and shepherds. We read the scriptures, sing hymns, participate in pageants, and do all the add-ons over the last 500 years or so. Now, moving to the Christmas present. In November, I went looking in the bookcase for something to read, and I came across a book called Cape Breton's Christmas, edited by Ronald Kaplan. And it's a book of short stories about Cape Breton Christmases. So I ended up reading six of them. My husband, late husband, was born in Cape Breton and lived there until age six and then moved to Halifax. So he was always interested in Cape Breton, so he had this collection of Cape Breton stories. Variety of authors, some familiar names among them. I skipped the ones in Gaelic and French. And I hadn't planned to read six books of short stories, but after the sixth book, I had reached my saturation point. And I didn't look in the bookcase to see if there were any more. And the stories covered a whole range of emotions from darkness and death to light to funny to hilarious. There are a number of stories about Christmas concerts, and they took place in churches, church halls, basements, community halls, and schools. And one woman commented on how much learning took place in those concerts. I grew up in Nova Scotia, in a community called Beaverbrook, which you probably never heard of. It's on the south side of Truro. If you're on Roby Street in Truro and keep going straight and don't turn up to go to Amherst or left to Halifax, you'll eventually get to Beaverbrook. It has a brook, but no beavers. There must have been beavers when they named a community. When I was growing up, there was a one-room school about 2.5 miles from home, a hall, a store, a Baptist church. And the only concert that I remember was the one where my brother was sick, really sick. I think he was running a fever, and he shouldn't have been out in the cold in December, but he went and he survived. And I remember asking my brother if he remembers concerts in the hall, and he did. It had a stage, dressing rooms, and seating for 30, and steep steps to get in. I do remember the steps. So in those books, there was a scattering of Christmas concert stories, and there were some funny things happened during Christmas concerts. If you've read through Ellen Montgomery's books, I know there's some stories of Christmas concerts in her books. And maybe they sang the first Noel at this service. We're going to sing the first two verses.
Thank you.
ran through many of the stories was a desire to get home for Christmas, no matter how modest the home might have been. And the stories ranged from horse and buggy days to air travel, boats and ships, buses, cars, and train rides, through sometimes fine weather, but often rain, freezing rain, blizzards. Not everybody got home. Sometimes people spent their Christmas with strangers, taken in out of the weather, fed, and given a place to sleep. One story that stuck in my mind was a young soldier in 1943, who was, his father was a United Church minister in Bermuda, and his parents were in Bermuda, so he couldn't go to Bermuda. So he's heading to Sydney to visit relatives. So he got on the train in Truro, barely, because the train was so packed with people. And as the train made its stops, eventually he got a seat. And of course, there was no canal causeway at that time, so they had to go across by ferry. And there's all kinds of issues getting across by ferry. And they finally got to the other side in Cape Breton. And the train was blocked with snow drifts, so they had to get a train with a plow to come from Sydney to clear out a track. And 21 hours later, he got to his destination. Another theme that ran through the stories, some of them, was how many times Christmas was saved through the generosity of strangers. There were many large families with one wage earner, and the families could barely handle the necessities, never mind the extra presents for Christmas. And there was one story recounted by a woman later in life about a doll. She really wanted a particular doll for Christmas, and she knew the family didn't have money. However, a day or two before Christmas, two strangers arrived with boxes, one box with food, enough for a week, and the other box with gifts. And lo and behold, there was a doll that she wanted among those gifts. And years later, she remembered that particular Christmas. And there was one story about Christmas daddies, how the check from Christmas daddy made such a difference in their lives. Another story was from 1949, where an immigrant from Europe was working in Sydney in a construction office. And a day or so before Christmas, he had to make the trip to Halifax to pick up his wife, 15-month-old daughter, and his mother-in-law after they came across the Atlantic. And he was going to Halifax by train. And the office manager asked him for a set of keys before he left, saying that if the weather was cold, he would check the pipes. So he went to Halifax, picked up his wife, daughter, mother-in-law, and they returned to Sydney by train on Christmas Day. And when he opened the door to the apartment, there sitting on the kitchen table was a small decorated Christmas tree, enough food in boxes to last him for a week. Decades later, he had never forgotten the generosity of the office staff and even named them in his story. There are some Santa stories that were hilarious, which I won't repeat. And there was one story about dogs, and I'm going to end with that. A family had two dogs, and prior to leaving for their late service, they gave their dogs their Christmas gifts, which they ripped open and were things that they could chew on. So they left two contented dogs and went off to their services. When they came home, the dogs bolted out the door. When the first person entered the living room, the scream could be heard throughout the house. Every gift had been opened. The living room was a mess of paper and ribbons and bows and styrofoam scraps and newspaper and gifts. And sitting under the Christmas tree was a crystal vase upright. So what else do you do but you clean up the mess? I guess they eventually let the dogs back in. But and then they had to try and figure out whose gift was this for? And who was it from? Anyway, it was a Christmas they never forgot. So those, I mean, these are just Cape Breton stories. There's stories, Christmas stories about PEI. There's Christmas stories about Nova Scotia, probably every province in Canada. But the stories represent what Christmas means to people and what has touched them over the years and what they remember decades later. So our Christmas past started 2,000 years. The Christmas present keeps evolving. I wonder what the Christmas future will look like. So let's sing an Austrian carol called Still, Still, Still.
On December the 13th, Trinity United Church hosted a Feed My Sheep Christmas celebration with multiple of volunteers led by Heather and her team. Fabulous donations from you, the Trinity community, and most importantly, the wonderful guests, the true spirit of Christmas was evident in the sharing of delicious foods, thoughtful gifts, and wrapping presents for the loved ones of our guests. A special thank you to Addison for the creation and festival Christmas centerpieces that were made. In action, members joined together for a fun and filled event. Many of you enjoyed the friendship soup. We had sold out of our gift jars. Over $800 was raised to support the Trinity Food Insecurity Program. Thank you to everyone. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from the UCW and the Faith in Action team. May 2026 bring us health and happiness and continue great work within our community.
Good morning. The worship team wishes to thank Elaine Burrows for leading the service today and Karen Brennan for sharing her musical talents in the music leadership of today's service. Next Sunday, we welcome Reverend Dr. Andrew Richardson as our service leader for our Epiphany service. For additional information on these items and more on the life and work of Trinity Summerside and its work into the community, the bulletin or Advent newsletter are available at the entrances and on the website, trinitysummerside.ca. As we journey toward and through the new year, let us not forget to share the hope, peace, joy, and love which we have revisited during Advent. We should always share with all of God's creation. Trinity is truly blessed by the people in the community of faith. We thank you for being willing to share your time, talent, and treasure, not only in Advent and Christmas, but all year round.
The offering will now be received. Let us pray. We receive the offerings today, along with the other offerings received by PAR or electronic transfer. We are grateful for the time, gifts of time and talent that are shared in this church. Amen. Let us pray. We remember before you, O God, Mary and Joseph, and in this season of Christmas, all travelers. We remember before you the innkeeper and in the season of Christmas, all those who are homeless or unwelcome. We remember before you, O Holy One, the shepherds and all those who work while we sleep, or whose efforts provide us with food or warmth or health care or comfort or safety or freedom. We remember before you the Magi, and in the season of Christmas, all those who bear gifts and all who teach us to wonder and worship and give thanks. We remember before you, O God of grace, the angels and their messages of peace and light and goodwill. We remember before you, Herod, and in this season of Christmas, all those who are in positions of power, able to make decisions that affect the lives of many others. We remember before you, O God of mercy, the children of Bethlehem, and in the season of Christmas, all those who are victims of violence or oppression or fear. We remember before you the Christ child, laid in a manger, and when he grew up, the sick who crowded around him. And in this season of Christmas, remember all those who come to him yet. In the season of Christmas, O God, may your presence be known to us and in what we do. Amen. As we leave this place, may we go with hope, peace, love, and joy in our hearts. May we share those blessings with others who we meet. Amen.